Hello and welcome to the 9th episode of the XPRIZE Cars Podcast. I'm Eric Boyd. Today I bring you an interview I conducted with Neil Anderson, Senior Director of the Automotive XPRIZE, at the New York Auto Show on March 21st, 2008. Neil has been involved with a lot of aspects of the development of the prize, primarily helping the team educate themselves about what's important in the industry and, you know, what the industry needs. So he had a lot of interesting sort of high-level thoughts about the Automotive XPRIZE, and I think that you'll find this interesting. Without further ado, here is Neil Anderson. Hi, I'm sitting here with Neil Anderson, who's Senior Director of the Automotive XPRIZE, and we're going to learn exactly what that means.
As Senior Director of the Automotive XPRIZE, the last few years, we have a core team that's set out to understand the issues that we face in the automotive industry and why we aren't seeing more super efficient vehicles in dealerships today. And our approach is really to get consensus and buy-in and information from all the different forces that are at play in the automotive sector. So we reached out to regulatory agencies, we reached out to the OEMs, the large manufacturers today, we reached out to NGOs and the environmental advocates of the world to figure out what they wanted to see. We've reached out to the suppliers of the world, and we've reached out to entrepreneurs that are developing new technology and new vehicle companies. And in that process, since none of us had a strong automotive background to begin with, we really had them sit us on their knees collectively and teach us about what they thought the major issues were and what the roadblocks were and what was right, what was wrong. Through that process, we were able to build credibility and to come up with a set of guidelines that today are very strong, are reinforced, have been filtered many times, and we believe are the right set of rules to help spur innovation in the sector. So we can see 100 mile per gallon or its equivalents vehicles on the roads in the very near future.
Great. Yeah, I'm kind of curious what the OEMs said about why the industry is stuck. I mean, that's one. You need a prize because the automotive industry has been stuck at 25 miles per gallon for 25 years, right?
Right.
Why did they say that is?
Well, you know, they're pretty good at speaking for themselves, and I don't think that they necessarily share the view that the industry is stuck. They have a lot of concerns that they need to deal with, and they have fiduciary responsibilities to their shareholders. I think that if there was a theme that we heard over that period of time is that that there's exciting technology that they're developing internally that they have the ability to roll out if the cost and the market demand is right, but that they've been producing what consumers want to buy. That they put vehicles in the marketplace that are based on what they see as what the industry wants and what the marketplace wants. And by and large, over the course of time, it's hard to find fault with that. They've done very well, and they've invested billions of dollars in platforms that have performed well, and they need to maximize the value. So one of our goals, and what we've seen in the marketplace, is that there really is demand for more fuel-efficient vehicles. So we're trying to bring that big, bright spotlight and consumer focus to the industry and the established industry to prove that there really is demand out there, and that if they are to make the investments, and they're significant investments, to bring those vehicles to market, that they'll be rewarded for that.
So as director, you probably considered, you know, other things which tried to stimulate the same sort of ideas. I'm thinking particularly of the Partnership for the Next Generation of Vehicles, which was a huge program under the Clinton administration. It spent like $1 billion and got us essentially nothing, as far as I can tell.
Right.
Did this factor into your thinking in any way?
Absolutely. We studied that and talked to a lot of the folks that were involved in that program. And depending on who you talk to, it was either a success or a failure. What it was certainly successful at was bringing the high-level engineering departments of several major OEMs together to try to solve the problem. And I think it really stimulated a lot of creativity within the ranks. There are some that argue on the flip side that we got the Prius because of the PNGB program, since Toyota was not involved and they were panicking, and they ended up bringing the Prius to market. So I don't know if you could say it was a complete failure. It didn't probably achieve its stated objectives, but I think a lot of good came out of that, and we were able to understand some of the realities that they faced in trying to develop a super efficient vehicle and understand better where the technology is and what the barriers were. So it's been a great historical learning example for us.
Great. I talked with John about this as well, but can you talk about the alternative class and sort of the, you know, the considerations you had, you know, why it was necessary and things like that?
Absolutely. One of the things that we saw in examining what was available and where innovation was coming from is that by nature, when a large automotive company is investing billions of dollars in a platform, they almost have to try to design a car that fits everybody's needs. And inevitably, you're going to end up with something that doesn't really meet a segment of the needs extremely well. So it's sort of homogenized, if you will. There are other examples, especially from NGO research, where we're seeing that city driving is really a big area where innovation can occur, and that different packages of vehicles with different needs can really emerge. So whether it's Amory Lovins at Rocky Mountain Institute that's challenging our assumptions about what a vehicle needs to be, or S.M. Shawhead, who was the former president of the Society of Automotive Engineers, who's challenging thinking about what exactly a car should be, and what does it need to be, what are the requirements that people desire. So in city driving, a lot of the commuting is done by one person in a vehicle, or 1.2, whatever the exact figure is. And if you have an eight-person vehicle traveling around, obviously that's not quite efficient. So what we saw was there's a higher need for one or two passenger vehicles that can be a second car in a family, a personal car for somebody that doesn't have a family, and that while the speed requirements, top speed requirements, may be the same if it's an urban environment with lots of freeways like Los Angeles, a smaller package was fine, that range requirements are much lower, and so which has a huge impact on some of these various powertrain technologies, and that from a material perspective, the life of the vehicle may even be different. We heard about some very interesting ideas for vehicle leasing. The whole idea of vehicle ownership, perhaps, is something that should be examined. And that if it's a service instead of a product, that designing to last for 10 years or 100,000 miles, relaxing those constraints, and maybe designing vehicles to last for 5 years or 10,000 miles, whatever it is, that a lot of the components can be reused in that service model, and the ones that need to be swapped out, that can happen. And in addition, the technology that's being developed has a more rapid insertion into the marketplace. So those are some of the things that guided the development of the alternative bus, really examining what a vehicle is.
Okay, so going back to your idea about the car as a service model, you've probably been following Shai Agassi and Project Better Place, and I was wondering if you could give a few comments about, have you considered a relationship with him?
Certainly, we've reached out, and we'd love to have a relationship with him, and we're open to any sort of participation along those lines. This project has to fit for their needs as well as their participants to fit for ours, so we certainly welcome it. And Gordon Murray is another person that we've had talks with. He's got a city car that he's been working on for the past 10 or 15 years now. And he's fairly well along in development, and we're hopeful that he'll choose to participate as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I know one of the things you said in the rules is that for the contest, you're restricting it to existing infrastructure. So, I mean, you even have one of the letter of intent teams, the Rowane Tri-Track, is this, it's sort of like a low-speed city car, but when it gets on rails, it goes real fast.
Right.
So, are you going to bend the rules for them, or?
Well, their approach to participating in the Automotive X Prize is that their initial vehicle will be designed for the type of use that we're requiring, that it has to fit within the current infrastructure. We certainly support anyone that has a longer-term vision of the future, and that is a sustainable vision. It very well may be that rail projects make sense. There are, I'm forgetting the name of the company right now, but there's a gentleman that has a rail car project that's being installed in Sweden. So there may be a future for that. Our job is to get these vehicles and inspire development, get them to market as soon as possible, and to also support an education about some of the longer-term solutions that may be able to be brought to market. We'd love to focus on all of those things, but as a prize and as an initiative, we had to focus on what was achievable between now and then, and who knows, there may be other prizes for future projects.
Well, that
projects.
Would be really cool. Follow-up, you know, some kind of rail prize or something. Can you talk a little bit about Progressive Insurance and finding the, you know, key sponsors?
Absolutely. Progressive Insurance is a wonderful partner for a lot of reasons. One is that, you know, they have a history of innovation within the insurance industry. And from our talks with them, they've really been able to demonstrate that their respect for innovation and their emphasis on innovation is a great fit for what we're trying to do. Another great byproduct of getting to know Progressive Insurance has been to understand that their commitment to sustainability, to improving the lives of their employees and their customers is real, and that this isn't just a match made on paper that looks good for everybody. There is an honest commitment from the top level all the way down through the ranks to help make this Automotive X Prize a success. And that was something that we really felt we needed in a corporate sponsor for this project. There's too big a chance that the public could look at a relationship between a corporate sponsor and a project with that's technology neutral, that's independent, that's international and unbiased, and make assumptions, even if they weren't true. So Progressive is committed to, you know, letting us control the competition. It's something we've insisted about. They are, they've been a fantastic partner so far, and we're really looking forward to working with them to make this a success.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I was just thinking, like, if it had been Firestone Tires or something, there'd be questions about...
A little conflict of interest.
Yeah. Okay, so is there anything else you'd like to say?
You know, I think, you know, for me personally, being involved in this project has been, in many ways, a dream come true. I've been a sort of a serial entrepreneur in my life, and I've spent a lot of time in the business and startup world. But I've always had a passion for the environment, for projects that relate to sustainability. So this has been the first opportunity for me to marry my business skills with my passions. And, you know, having a couple kids, it feels good to be working hard on making a better future for them. So it's been an amazing experience, and I'm hopeful that the results of what we've built here will really change the way we drive, the way we think about energy consumption, the choices that we make, and hopefully, you know, change the world for the better.
Yeah, I know. You certainly inspired me. I mean, I started my company because I think that this is going to explode and that it's going to have a transformative effect. But also, I mean, in talking to the teams, there's a lot of them, I mean, they would be doing nothing if they weren't doing this, right?
Yeah. That's right.
So you've already made a difference.
I like that you're in the yoga.
It's great to know. Thank you.
Yeah, and with that, I guess we'll say goodbye.
Okay. Thanks, sir.
And that was Neil Anderson, Senior Director of the Automotive X Prize. I'm Eric Boyd. This is the XPRIZE Cars Podcast, episode number 9. If you liked what you heard here, please come visit my website at xprizecars.com. Thanks for listening.